Quote, I am on record as saying I support Bob Mueller 100%. I say investigate everything Russia did, but admit that this was a really sloppy process that you engaged in to surveil a U.S. citizen. An Iraqi government spokesman says the battle against ISIS has ended and U.S. troop levels are being drawn down, with some military forces and equipment being sent to Afghanistan. Financial markets in Asia and Europe showed big losses today after the Dow and S&P spiraled downward dramatically Friday. Dow futures lower right now. I'm Evan Haining.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is KYMN, 1080 on your AM dial since 1968, and of course now 95.1 FM, The One. Well, it's the day after the Super Bowl, and I'm wearing a Super Bowl ring right now. I was at a party yesterday, and my wife won the pool three times. And if the Philadelphia Eagles, instead of going for 2 points, if they would have gone for the point after a touchdown, I would have been in big money. But I didn't win, but I had a lot of fun. One of those deals where you, every time you score, you add it up, and if it's your number, you win a lot of money. But unfortunately, the Eagles went for two. Say, speaking about going for two, I'm going to go to microphone number four and welcome my guest here this morning. And I want to thank him very much for coming down. His name is Mark Skipper. Hello, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing this morning?
I really appreciate your coming down, because it was quite a drive, wasn't it?
It was a drive, but I appreciate the opportunity to come and speak to you and your audience.
You know, you were halfway from Maple Grove, right?
Correct.
So half of the trip was a lot of traffic, and then after you got on 35, it was just cool to get down here.
Smooth sailing.
All right. Yeah. Here's the deal, folks. I met Mark last Tuesday, as a matter of fact, and we certainly had a nice conversation over at a meeting place called Culver's, and it was called? Toastmasters Club?
Toastmasters, yes.
And you were participating in that, correct?
I was giving a presentation on networking for introverts. And I also gave a contest speech. Last year, I was the District 6 International Speech Champion.
Wow. Congratulations. So
thank you. I had an opportunity to go and compete against 101 other people from around the world.
Wow.
In Vancouver, Canada.
All right.
So, great experience.
Well, I could tell by meeting you that you are not an extrovert, or are you, and you're battling that?
I am not an extrovert.
I can
tell. My natural feeling, I'm an introvert that pushes himself out every now and then to be more of an extrovert. And Toastmasters helps me to do that.
Okay.
Some of my past jobs have helped me to do that as well. But my natural state,
yes,
is an introvert.
All right. An introvert. I would have to say I'm an extrovert. I have a type A personality. And so you'd be a type B, is that what they say?
That sounds fine.
Yeah. All right. Now, one of the things that when we were conversing after your meeting with the Toastmasters Club, you are an owner and an operator of a business. And I like to hear about that, because when I have a chance to interview people, sometimes they're a little microphone shy. And I says, you're good at what you do, and I'm good at what I do, so don't worry about it. So you're not worried?
I'm not worried.
All right. That's good. What business are you in?
I have a small office cleaning business that's based out of the Maple Grove area.
So how does that work? I mean, there's so many big corporate businesses like ServiceMaster and others, and you have your own independent operation, or are you a franchise?
No, it's my own independent operation, which I started almost exactly 5 years ago this time. You know, actually in the Twin Cities area, they say there's over 700 cleaning companies whether they're big or small, but 9 out of 10 of them will be more of what you might consider the mom and pop, one or two people like myself that are operating their cleaning businesses.
Well, now, 5 years ago when you started the business, how did that happen?
That's a great question. My background is past 25 years I had been a professional fundraiser for Boy Scouts of America and Dunwoody College. One of the things that I had been looking at for about 8 years was I wanted to do something on the side to make a little extra money.
Sure.
And one of those things that I looked at was the cleaning business. I was so busy in my job, putting in lots and lots of hours, I just wasn't that motivated to go out and do that. Then I got an opportunity. We started going through some transition at one of my jobs. I took a severance and made a decision that if I was going to see if I could actually go out and start this business, that probably was the best time to do that.
And why the cleaning business?
With me not having any background or experience in it, I thought it was a business that I could learn relatively fast, as well as market it a little differently than what I had seen it being marketed.
And what's the name of that business?
The name of my business is called MAS.
MAS.
Office Cleaners.
What does the MAS stand for?
Stands for Mark Anthony Skipper. Mark, so okay. Happens to be my name.
All yeah. right. Well, why not?
Not very creative, that's but right. That's what it stands for.
Now, when you go into a business like that, and once again, I want to remind you that if I ask questions that you say is none of my business, just say none of my business.
Okay.
But here you are doing the fundraising for the Boy Scouts and another nonprofit, and you want to do something for yourself and be independent, and you think up cleaning. Now, what was the genesis of that? You know, some people might think car cleaning, or maybe
sure
a radio station, but you know, why cleaning?
No, that's a great question. I have a fraternity brother who he and his wife purchased a cleaning franchise a number of years back. So that got me interested in learning about that particular industry and as a potential franchise opportunity, and did a little bit of research. And decided that, you know, this is something that I probably could do, as I said, not initially having the background in it, that I can learn the business and do it a little bit differently as far as how I market and how I brand the business.
So do you have a partner at all?
I am the only partner.
Okay, yep, good for you.
I'm the only partner.
That's a great feeling, isn't it?
It is. It is. You know, of course, there's challenges with that. The buck always stops with you.
Yep.
So all your mistakes are your mistakes.
Yep.
But that's okay. You know, there's additional pressure to it, but it's really no different than when I worked for other people. Mm-hmm. There was always pressure in those jobs, and there's pressure in running your own business as
well. No, other than some huge nonprofits, usually the pay isn't fantastic. I mean, it's livable, but you've got to do a lot of work, and the pay is not compensatory to the hours that you put in and the people you have to network with and the ask that you have to do. And so when you decided to start your own business, did you have to go like to the SBA or was there some help? I know I bought a business and I needed good bankers to help me out because I didn't have a pot to. I can't say that word. So how did that happen with you?
No, that's a great question. There's a lot of resources out there to help individuals that are about to start businesses. I actually just jumped out there. I didn't go out and get any loans or anything of that sort to get started. One thing about this particular business, the entry level is not as high as some industries where you may have to invest hundreds of thousands of dollars for a franchise or to get involved. This is a little bit of an over-exaggeration. But you literally can almost start with just a bucket, a mop, and a broom to get started with the business.
You know what? I was just going to say, first of all, you have to buy the equipment that you do need, and it can get up to those fancy machines that wash floors that I'm sure cost thousands of dollars. So Did you go into it yourself and do the cleaning yourself and get started that way?
I started that way, and I'm still doing some of the cleaning right now. The types of accounts that I work with are relatively small accounts. Think of places like insurance agent offices like the State Farm. Excuse me.
Yeah, go ahead, take a drink of water. It's 912 on 1080 Radio, KYMN. My guest this morning is a gentleman by the name of Mark Skipper from Maple Grove. And we're learning about how he started a business and how scary it must have been when you quit your income job and went out. Did you line up several offices before you quit?
No.
Okay.
And I would say if I were to do it all over again, I probably would start off a little bit differently than what I did. But since that time, over the 5 years, I have now just under 50 customers in the Maple Grove and surrounding area. So my customers tend to be insurance agents, financial advisors, small businesses where there may be anywhere from 1 to 10 people that are working out of those offices. We see them all in our communities. We know the person in most cases that owns that business. And on average, we're able to go into a customer's office and it gets clean within an hour's time.
Okay.
So as opposed to having businesses that are in the much bigger office buildings, where it might be 50,000 square feet or larger. Ours are typically around 1,000 to 2,000 square feet in size.
And if you don't want to mention the name, but tell us how you got your first customer.
I read this book that is called The Ultimate Sales Machine. And in this book, the author talked about how do you go about staying in front of your customers. He was in the magazine industry. Sold advertising. He identified 100 companies that were not current clients of the company that he was working for. Every 4 weeks, he would put some type of information in front of them, research that they had done, newsletters, information that might be of interest to those companies. And the whole purpose was so that they would stay top of mind to that company. So that when they were ready to look at or try some different advertising, different companies, they would be one of the first companies that came to mind. A lot of people might know this as a drip program. I incorporated that as well, and I came up with these postcard-sized newsletters where I would always ask a question and then give 2 points to answer that question. And I delivered that to about just over 100 companies that were in the Maple Grove area. Within 21 days of putting those out, putting my business cards out, my first customer contacted me, brought me in, came on board, and I'm happy to say that they're still a customer of mine today.
I was going to ask you, do you keep track of your retention in regards to customers you've signed up? Because I was a salesman myself, and I had some that were just fantastic, and they stayed with me all the time. But then I had some that said, no, I don't need this right now, or I'm going to go somewhere else. So how about retention? Is that the most important part of your business?
It is, because if you can keep someone for 1-2 years, it's more expensive to bring on new customers as opposed to keeping the ones you have and keeping them happy. Most of the customers that I've lost over the years have been more so things like they've moved their offices outside of my territory. Unfortunately, my first year I had two customers that happened to be in the mortgage industry that closed their doors that year. So I had to stop and take a step back and ask myself, should I be focusing on mortgage companies? But primarily, my loss has been those types of reasons of why I no longer have those customers.
Do you have a best customer?
I do. And this
you can mention names if you want to. It's okay. I mean, I know it's advertising for them, which is good for you.
Okay. I will do that. Let me first of all say I have a number of really great customers.
Okay.
And one of them is a company by the name of J. Piper Media, which is based out of Maple Grove. And they help companies with their advertising placement. This company came on board about four years ago as a customer of ours. I was in a smaller office, moved to a much larger offices. We followed them to that larger office, and they have just turned out to be a fantastic company to work with. I would highly recommend it. Any company that's in the need of those kinds of services, J. Piper Media would be a great company to contact.
Maybe I should contact them.
Maybe you should.
You know,
I have the number right here.
I haven't placed the radio advertising budget on KYMN.
There you go.
When I first met you, I could tell that you're a conversationalist, and yet you seem to be somewhat hesitant. And I said, don't worry about it. You'll relax the first few minutes that we're here. So far, so good?
So far, you are fantastic in helping me feel comfortable.
Good. So now we get to the point of how many employees do you have?
I'm the number one employee.
Okay.
As I said, when I first started, I did everything. I did all the marketing, so putting out the newsletters, going to networking events. And then 3.5 years into the business, I brought on my first part-time employee. So I only have part-time employees.
So 1099?
Well, actually, the way I work it is I work with a staffing company where I go and I find the individual I want to work with. And then they go through the staffing company and technically become an employee of the staffing company.
Right.
And then I pay them and they work with me.
Yeah, I get it.
Today we have four part-time employees. My goal is my plan is to end this year having 8 part-time employees. What I would like to do is double the number of accounts that we currently have, which is, as I said, just under 50. 100 is the goal that I would like to have this year.
So you're halfway there.
I'm halfway there.
Yeah,
exactly. And so far the first month, January, turned out to be a good month. Picked up a great customer, let me get this correct. Fit Body Boot Camp, which is a exercise facility, has 2 locations, one in Maple Grove and one in St. Louis, Lewis Park.
Now, one of the things when I talk to a lot of people that own businesses, et cetera, particularly restaurants, they have the biggest pain in the butt are employees wanting a day off, or I'm sick, or Susie's going to cover for me, but Susie doesn't know it and didn't show up. How's it going in regards to your part-timers showing up and doing a good job?
Well, let me first of all say I have some really great people that work with me today and that have worked with me over the past year and a half. I had this idea of the type of person that I wanted to have come in and work with MAS. I wanted to find people that had a full-time job during the daytime, but they needed to have some extra income because they had some really specific goals to achieve. They maybe wanted to buy their first house, so they needed to have a down payment, or they wanted to put the kids in daycare, or the kids are about to go to college, and they need additional income. So I started looking for individuals, one, that fit that demographic, and I tended to go through people that I already had a contact with, a relationship with, individuals at my church. And nearly 100% of the people that work with me have been people that have been referred to me by people that I know in some form or fashion. So the individuals that have come on board have been very conscientious and wanting to do a good job. And they have been the reason why over the last year and a half I have continued to grow, because they've done a great job.
And that counts, boy. I'll tell you what, when you have good employees and you don't micromanage, that's best. You know what I mean? You don't have to be there looking over their shoulder. They feel better that they're independent and
yes.
You can count on them. Right?
Exactly. If you think about any business, it's that person that's on the front lines. That employee really is the company to that customer, because they're the ones that they have the interaction with. They're the ones that they see. So I see a big part of my role is helping to support them to be successful in their job as well as outside of the job. And once again, many of them are coming to work for me because they have some specific goals they're trying to achieve.
Our guest this morning is Mark Skipper, and he is the president and the CEO and the worker and the guy that started up his own business 5 years ago called MAS. And then what's after the cleaning, right?
Office cleaners.
Office cleaners, okay. Yeah. Speaking about small businesses and independence, I got to tell you a story about a place here in Northfield called the Quarterback Club. It's a restaurant, and it was started by a group of Minnesota Vikings 50 years ago. And they ran into trouble with this franchising. They had several stores around the area, and a fellow by the name of Swenson bought it from the Vikings because they, I don't know if they went bankrupt or what. Well, after a year, he sold it to a guy from Northfield named Larry Benjamin, who the late Larry Benjamin, who went to work and worked very hard and had a lot of employees, some of them high school kids. And he did very well, but wanted to get into a different business. So he sold his business to a guy named Dale Finger. Now, Dale Finger worked there when he was in high school, and then he went off to college, and then he came back to manage the place for Larry, and then Larry went into the other business, and Dale was able to afford to be able to buy the place, all done because of, like you say, networking and contacts. And so today, they've been there for 50 years.
Wow.
And Dale has owned and managed that for, I don't know how many, but maybe 25 of those years. And they have a breakfast in the morning from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Saturday. And people go in there and get a cup of coffee and donuts, or you can get waffles or pancakes, eggs, bacon, ham, malta meal, whatever you want.
You're making me hungry.
Yeah.
Please slow down on that.
It is quite. Oh, speaking about hungry, lunchtime they serve up a lot of roasted chicken and all kinds of flame broiled burgers. Quarterback Club, located right here in Northfield, owned and operated by Dale Finger, a townie, graduated from Northfield. Here in town we have townies and gownies. The gownies are the colleges, and then townies are us. So anyhow, get a chance, folks, stop in for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. My guest this morning on KYMN Radio is Mark Skipper, and he is an owner-operator of MAS Office Cleaning. Started his own company after working for some nonprofits. Was it scary the first year that you cut off that paycheck that was coming in regularly?
It was scary the first, second, third. It continues to be a little scary.
So how did I would imagine you had to save up so that you'd have the bridge between getting the business enough to give you the income that you had before and hopefully more. I'm wondering what type of equipment you said you started it and did it yourself. What did you have to go out and I mean, you kidded about a mop and a bucket, but there's more to it than that. What did you do? How did you get the equipment from your vehicle to the office, etc.?
Great question. Actually, it's not too far away from that, though. Because of the size of offices that we clean, we do not need the big floor strippers, the big equipment that you'll tend to see when you go into the grocery store, you go into a big office building. What we need to have are some of the basic things that you use in your home, a upright vacuum cleaner. Most of what we use are backpacks, which look a little bit like the Ghostbusters, if you've seen
that
movie.
Yeah.
So buying those kinds of vacuum cleaners, a caddy to carry your cleaning solutions in, and pretty much, and a Swiffer. And that's primarily all that we needed to get started. So now with four, it's just a matter of just multiplying of those particular items, dusters as well, that we provide for for those that have worked with us. So the investment is, once again, not to the same level as it would be, say, to a McDonald's or one of those kinds of franchises. So for someone that is looking for a potential business to go in that the risk is not as high, the cleaning industry might be one for someone to consider.
No, I'm picturing you going into an office and you've got carpeting that you got to sweep up. And do you clean the carpet ever? I mean, actually, like, you know, a rug cleaning?
We don't actually do the cleaning, but okay. We have relationships with other companies that will come in and provide cleaning service for carpets, for the windows, pretty much any service that an office needs. Because of the relationships I have through an organization that's called Business Network International, or what's commonly known as BNI, I can connect them with any service, any product that they need.
What if a guy approaches you and says, I know you got a cleaning place, and I know you vacuum the carpet, but occasionally it's going to need cleaning. Is that a profit area for you to do, to recommend this company? And does the client choose that whatever company they want?
Some might say this is bad, but I don't charge anything extra to make those kinds of connections for my company.
So you don't get customers. You don't get a perk.
I don't. And a number of companies will do that. But to this point, I have chosen not to do that. So I will help them, for instance. They need to have their carpet cleaned. I will coordinate the carpet cleaning for them and bring that company in there.
So well, you should get paid for that.
Well, I think I do in a sense of one of those extra things that we do for our customers. I believe relationships are so important to build a business, and especially this type of business. I want my customers to know that I care about their offices as if it was my own personal office.
Now, based on what you've been telling me, I assume the offices may have toilet facilities in the hallway for all the companies in the building, or they have their own private bathroom. And nowadays, men's and women's are the same thing if you have the guts to walk in. And I'm just wondering, who is, if they have a men and a women's, which one is dirtier?
Wayne, you're not going to get me in trouble with that. I'm not answering that question.
Okay.
You know, to be honest, most of our offices, because they're all professional type offices, you know, once again, financial advisors, accounting offices, mortgage offices, insurance, law firms, they are already very cognizant of their appearance makes a difference to their clients and customers that come in. So you're not going to walk into their office and find paper all over the floor or in the bathrooms. You're not going to find dust all over the place. So cleaning those kinds of offices really are just maintaining the offices, and not so much as, let's say, going into a public facility, say like a restaurant, where you have so many people going in and out, where you constantly have to be in there cleaning. These facilities are not like that. So I would say I don't have any real bad, dirty customers. Good. Yeah.
So basically you go in and you vacuum, empty the waste baskets, and if they have a bathroom, you clean up the bathroom. And what about Venetian blinds? I don't even know. You're much younger than me. So are they still called Venetian blinds?
That's what I call them.
Okay.
That's what I call them.
You know what? If it wasn't for Venetian blinds, it would be curtains for us. Okay. That's an old joke.
Yeah.
But I visualize, I once had some, and they're hard. It takes time to clean them. Are they still used?
They are still used in some offices, but that's not a particular service that we provide. I know a lot of times with residential cleaners, that is definitely one of the services that they have to do. But actually, I'm kind of happy that we don't have to do Venetian blinds.
Now, you said that it takes approximately an hour to do a relatively small three-person office, let's say. And, you know, in an hour, you have to be doing more than one a night, because you can't survive on just one Certainly. Hour a night. So how many do you do and when do you start and when do you finish on a regular workday?
Our average customer, so we just have under 50 customers that we service. And typically customers will have their offices cleaned either once a month, every other week, or on a weekly basis. They just don't have the type of traffic that calls for needing daily cleaning. So we will have on average, it might be 3 or 4 accounts that have to be cleaned that particular night. Some of the once a month are falling in on nights. Every other week are falling on different nights. So there are multiple accounts that are being cleaned every night. Everything's scheduled from Monday through Friday. We typically can go in as early as 5:30 to 6 o'clock for the average office. And depending on the particular accounts that we have that night, we could be out anywhere from 10 to 12 o'clock that night.
Okay.
Because once again, the hour is just an average. Yeah. There are some accounts that we have that will take us 2 hours to 2.5 hours to clean.
Now, do they give you a key?
Yes. In almost 100% of the cases, we either have the key, and for those that have alarm systems, we have the codes in order to enter into their offices. So it's real important for our company to make sure that we're hiring the right types of honest and trustworthy individuals. So we do the background checks. We make sure that the individuals that we bring on board can be trusted to go into an office. Because one of the things that we realize that many of these companies, the owner has taken out a loan. They put the house on a mortgage. They've mortgaged their home to pay for their business. And they are very careful about who goes into their office. Many of them have not had outside cleaning services come into their office when nobody's there. So trust is a big part of what actually I sell when I go out and I talk to potential customers.
Now, one of the questions that I think you can answer is, it went right through my head there. Isn't that crazy? That happens.
That happens to me all the time.
9:34 is the time on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with our guest here all the way from Maple Grove, and his name is Mark Skipper, and he is the owner-operator and master of all of MAS Office Cleaning. We'll be back in just a moment on this. What is it? I've got to date this. This is February 5th, and the year is 2018. You can pick up a recording of this conversation by way of your computer and keep it for any people that want to listen to it 25 years from now, like yourself, and say, oh man, I was just a rookie at that time. All right, we'll take this break and then we'll be right back on KYMN, a friend you can count on.
Your vehicle's engine warning light could mean something as simple as a loose gas cap or something serious and potentially expensive if you don't address it right away. Have our professional technicians at Witt Brothers Service diagnose and fix the problem as part of your overall preventative maintenance program. It could save you from costly problems down the road. Stop by Witt Brothers Service at 701 Division Street in downtown Northfield for all of your automotive maintenance and repair needs.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I didn't find that working behind a desk, so for me it was a pretty easy decision to make. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association at this station.
One of my favorite songs, and this is the number one tune of all of 1982 in the pop world. Can you name this tune? Yeah.
I was afraid you were going to ask me that question. I remember hearing it, but I cannot tell you what the name is.
Okay. Joan Jett.
I remember Joan Jett. Yeah.
And this is called, let's see if we can get it right here.
Belong, he was with me, yeah, me, and chill, it wouldn't be long. The hills with me, yeah, me singing.
I love rock and roll.
Yep, you got it.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Number one tune in 1982 when my guest graduated from high school.
Oh, 82. Wow.
Boy, you know, it seems to me like 1982 is just there. And how about with you, 1982?
1982 seems forever and away.
Let's figure out how
many
years.
That's a long time ago.
Okay, 82. So we got 92, 2002, 2012. And that's 30 in 18 is 6.
Was that 36
years?
36 years.
Time flies, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
It does. It really makes you stop and think that you really do have to take advantage of your life as you live it day by day.
Now, how often have you been coming down to Northfield for the, I want to say Ambassadors, but it's the Toastmasters Club?
Well, I came last week. It was for the purpose of giving a speech. And so this was the first time I have visited this particular Toastmaster.
Okay.
And they have reorganized, I believe it was about a year ago. So there's still a relatively new Toastmasters that's in the area. Toastmasters is a great organization for people that want to improve their communication skills and do it in a safe environment where if you make a mistake, people aren't going to laugh at you. They're just going to cheer you on, where they teach you how to think on your feet, which is one of the reasons I wanted to get back into Toastmasters, because I was in Toastmasters back at the end of or the beginning of 2000s. But being able to think on your feet and to help out with things like being on a radio show so that you can organize thoughts in your mind and be able to answer questions. But their organization, just a great way to improve your communication skills as well as your leadership skills as well.
I had an employee by the name of Ray Young. I don't know if you met him. He wasn't there the night I met you. So you probably don't know Ray?
I do not, no.
Okay. And he was into it, and he kind of was the leader there for a while.
Okay.
And I had the he invited me to attend. And so this is about a year ago. So I thought, you know, I can do that. So I went to the place, and I was being observant. And all of a sudden, they call on me. And I'm going,
right.
Well, wait a minute. I'm just here with Ray because he wanted me to see the operation. I didn't anticipate or expect to talk. And they threw it to me, and of course, being a broadcaster and an MC for many, many years, I actually got stage fright.
You know, oh, wow.
In front of all those people that are thinking, I believe they were thinking, well, here's a guy, because Ray gave me a great introduction, that they're going to anticipate that I'm going to knock their socks off with the humor and the organization of the speed, blah, blah, blah. And I feel I failed miserably, but
I'm sure you did fine. I'm sure that probably was table topics is what they were doing, where they go around and they ask four or five people that haven't had an opportunity to speak at that meeting a question, and you have 1 to 2 minutes to answer that question.
Well, there's an old saying called, when you make a speech, you have to have an opening, a middle, and a close, and keep the opening close as close together as you can.
There you go. There you go. You know, I used to be petrified of standing up and making a presentation in front of people. This was all the way through college. In fact, I can remember being in middle school, sitting in a class, and students are going up giving their speeches, and the person before me was almost finished. And I'm sitting there, and I am just sweating, water just streaming down my face. I'm looking at the clock. I'm hoping that the bell rings before it's my time to stand up and speak. And fortunately for me, the bell rung, and I didn't have to give my speech that day. But I was just petrified of speaking. As I said, all the way through college.
Was that a speech class that this happened?
I believe this was an English class that, okay. that I had, and we each had to give a presentation in, sure. in that particular class.
No, I got to tell you a story. When I was in speech class, and I'm thinking, wow, this is going to be easy credit, and I was going to try to tell you the teacher's name, Mr. Heine, believe it or not, just out of the Marines. But anyhow, let's say that there were 15 students, with a row of three rows, five across. He started at the upper left and said, okay, we're going to now have the person to your right give you a subject to speak on, anything they want, an impromptu speech. And so the first kid got up and the kid said doorknob or whatever, and it's going through, and I'm the last guy. And so the first guy is supposed to ask me. So Mr. Heine said, no, I have a question. I have a topic. Okay, Wayne, I want you to give me 3 minutes on integrity. As a junior in high school or whatever I was, I spelled it about four times.
Using up that time.
Later in life, I could have done really well because, you learn as you go. Speaking mm-hmm. about that, where were you born?
I was actually born in a little bitty city in Arkansas called Marianna.
Marianna, Arkansas.
Yes, it's about 45 minutes from Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay. I've driven, my wife and I like to go on motorcycle trips. And we spent a little time in Arkansas and Tennessee, and we went on that, what they call the Dragon's Tail, which is an unbelievable Tennessee-South Carolina ride, I believe it is. But anyhow, we went to Arkansas, and it was so hot, and they have a helmet law. And we didn't use our helmets and got stopped by the cops. And didn't know that there was no helmet law. Thank you for stopping us. Got to Branson. The same thing happened. And then when we crossed the southern border of Arkansas just before that, we got stopped again. And use the old story about we didn't know. And I'll never forget the guy looked me in the eye and he says, "You're from Minnesota and you started on the northern border of Arkansas and you're on the southern border. And you didn't get stopped?" "No, sir." That's my memory of Arkansas in Eureka Springs. You know where that is?
I've never been to Eureka Springs.
Okay, where you said Marietta? Is that the name of the town?
Marianna, but it was just where I was born.
Okay.
So I never really lived there.
What town did you grow up in?
Grew up in Detroit up until 13. My mother is the one that's from the Arkansas area. And she and my dad, who's from Clarksdale, Mississippi, met in college down in Arkansas and then moved to Detroit, where my dad got his first job. So I lived in Detroit up until about 13 years old.
Okay.
And then his job.
Do you have siblings?
I have a sister that is 1 year younger than I am.
Oh, I have a sister that's 1 year older than me.
Oh, wow.
What's your sister's name?
My sister's name is Lisa.
Lisa, okay.
Yes.
Lisa, and she's 1 year older than you.
Younger. 1 year younger.
Yeah.
Well, to her, she might say she's older.
Okay. So your dad went to Detroit for what job?
At the time, he went and he worked for General Motors for a short period of time. But then he left General Motors and began to work for Equitable Life Insurance Company, which he worked for about 22 years.
Equitable?
Equitable.
Guess what?
What?
When I was in my first radio station over in Toma, Wisconsin, the owner of the station, small station, mm-hmm. Brought in an insurance guy. And he told the staff that this guy has been given permission to pitch you insurance. So I listened to the guy, and I said to him, I said, "I will buy your policy if you can get me Viking-Packer game tickets at Lambeau Field." And he said, okay. About 3 days later, he called me up, says, "Wayne, I got a pair of tickets for you." And I said, okay, I'll buy your policy. And for every, the dividend on that is $107 a year. A year. And it's now AXA, I think, Equitable.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I still have that policy and the dividends. And, the tickets to the Viking-Packer game, you know, that they were priceless.
So it's well worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm familiar with Equitable. And so your dad went into the insurance business. Now, did you live right in Detroit?
I lived on the west side of Detroit on Linwood and Puritan in the heart of the city.
Okay, now, where is Northfield or Southfield in?
So you're familiar with the Detroit area then. Southfield was, I would say from where we lived, was no more than a 10-minute drive from there. And there was a big mall there called Northland Mall. I don't know if the mall is still there or not. There's a big bowling alley. My family was a bowling family. They were in numerous bowling leagues. They had my sister and I in bowling leagues. All of that was located right there in the Southfield area.
Well, I'm going bowling at 4 o'clock. I'm on a businessman's league that's been around for about 30 years. Now, I got to ask you, and don't, you know.
Okay.
What's your best score ever? I'll write mine down so you don't think I'm, you know, I'm writing it down. Okay.
My best score ever, I was about 12 years old, and I bowled a 200-plus game.
Wow.
And I haven't done it since.
Yeah. This was my highest score.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. In fact, I'm going bowling here in 2 weeks.
For what?
With the business referral group that I'm with, which is called BNI. We have a bowling activity that is happening, I believe it's the 24th of this month. And I haven't been bowling in years.
Well, you'll have a lot of fun. Bowling is fun.
It is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It is.
And I had a guy that was on our team. He's not there anymore. But anyhow, he was very serious about it. And after about 4 weeks, I said to him, I won't even mention his name, I am not here to be up and ready to bowl the minute you get done. He was first, I was second. And, you know, it's your turn, Wayne. It's your turn, Wayne. It's your turn, Wayne. And I finally told him, I said, I am not here to be there and get serious about it and all that. I'll be competitive as I can. I'm here for the camaraderie. And, I mean, there's 16 lanes and there's 4 per lane, so there's a lot of people there that you get to chit-chat and catch up with.
A lot of people having a lot of fun.
Yeah. 10 minutes before it's 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair, we're going to take another break here on Kim. We are a friend you can count on. And before I do that, I want to tell you something. On today's 15 with the author, Terry Knight talks with first-time author and Northfield resident Sharon Henry. The good story is close to her heart. The book is called Good Day, Sad Day, Same Day, A Day with My Mommy Who Has Bipolar Disorder. The idea for the book originated in 2010 when she saw the ways her grandson was affected by her daughter's bipolar disorder. Sharon talks about what it took for her to write the book, including her process and her hopes for Good Day, Sad Day, Same Day. She'll be talking about the book and the story at the Northfield Public Library on February 8th at 7 p.m. And, of course, that library is right across the street from our studios here on Division at 2nd in downtown Northfield. One break. We'll be back with our guest, Mark Skipper.
Do you have an old junker car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junker vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
All right, America. H&R Block has some good news. For a limited time only, you could get a refund advance loan of up to $3,000 the same day you file at Block. That's right. You could get up to $3,000 today. No interest. Told you it was good news. To learn more or find participating locations near you, visit hrblock.com. Get your taxes one. Optional tax refund related loan from BofI Federal Bank. Not your tax refund. $500, $750, $1,250, or $3,000 loans offered. Approval and loan amount based on expected refund and other conditions. Funds loaded on prepaid card. Tax returns may be e-filed without applying for this loan. Fees for other products or features may apply.
H&R Block, 1300 Bolamucker Drive in Northfield. Open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday, 9 to 5. Walk-ins are welcome or call 645-6281 for an appointment.
What? You gotta get up to my...
I said that's from Rocky.
Yeah.
Eye of the Tiger, I believe.
That's exactly
right. That's exactly right?
Yep, you got that one, but I know you're not going to know who did it.
No. In my mind, I'm trying to go back to MTV to remember. No, I can't remember.
This is a group called The Survivor.
That's right, The Survivor.
Is Eye of the Tiger. Our guest this morning is from Detroit. Boy, this is going to be fun talking about Detroit. That's a city that has been the most productive city in the world at one time, and it's a city in dire straits at other times. And you lived there till you were 13?
Until I was 13 years old, yes.
Okay. Now, did you live on the outskirts of Detroit or
No, right inside of the city, lived on the west side of Detroit. Lived close to Wayne University. Wayne University.
Oh, I didn't know I had one of those.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's Wayne State University. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where's 8th Street compared to where you lived?
I'm not sure about 8th Street. I do remember... And 8 Mile Road.
8 Mile Road.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
8 Mile Road was not too far away from us. Once again, I would say 8 miles would have been within a 10-minute drive from our home. We were almost right off of the John C. Lodge Highway, which is, at least at the time, was one of the main highways. I don't know if it still is or not. But right in that vicinity.
Was it a house or an apartment building?
It was a house. It was a two-family home.
Okay.
So one family who happened to be an owner of the house lived upstairs, and we lived downstairs. Had a porch on the front, detached garage. We lived right on the corner. So every day, every night, we'll hear people walking by our house talking as they're walking up and down the street.
So that here in Minnesota, we call it a duplex, what you just described.
Yes. Yes, and it would be like a duplex.
I've lived in too many duplexes in my lifetime, upstairs and downstairs. And you got to get along with the people that are living upstairs or downstairs. Yours were up and down, right? Not side by side.
Okay. They lived upstairs. We were right below them. Our basements backed up against one another.
Uh-huh.
So it was important to be courteous towards each other and not play your music too loud, all those kinds of things.
You bring back memories and start talking about duplexes. So your dad worked for Equitable.
Yes.
So he, unfortunately, could be gone day and night because if a client said, I'll see you at 8:30 at night, he might have to go there.
Yeah, well, actually, my dad didn't sell insurance.
Oh.
He worked in... As an administrator within the organization, where he was more of the support for the salespeople that were out there selling the insurance.
So Equitable had a good-sized office there?
They did. Okay. They did. And, in fact, they began to expand, and that's what transferred us from Detroit to Columbus, Ohio, because they opened up an office there, and my dad was one of those that went over to help open that particular office.
Well, at age 13, you were in the seventh grade, junior high.
Exactly. I was junior high.
Now, at that point in your life, you made friends, neighbors, and all that. Did you go to a public school?
I did go to a public school. Went to a couple of schools. Went to Halley Elementary.
Okay.
and went to Region 5 Middle School in Detroit.
Now, when you were at Region 5, you hooked up with a bunch of guys, your buddies, your friends. Did you play any sports in junior high?
I didn't in junior high. I did play sports when I was in scouting, but it wasn't through the school.
Okay.
I did softball, baseball, that type of thing.
Were you an Eagle Scout?
I wish I was.
Okay.
I wish I was. No, I made it all the way through the Cub Scout program to Weeblos, and then that's the point where we moved to Columbus, Ohio, and I didn't get back involved in scouting.
Was that hard to move from your buddies at that age?
It was. And once again, you're moving from what you've always, that's all I knew, was Detroit.
Yeah.
So, yes, breaking those relationships and moving away was challenging. But I think it was a good decision that my parents made.
I did the same thing. I was going to school in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Oh, really?
And in the
I used to live in Indianapolis.
Oh, we lived in Broad Ripple.
I lived not too far away from Broad Ripple. I lived off of Keystone.
Oh, yeah.
And somewhere around 71st and Keystone.
I know where that's at.
Yeah.
Do you know that they put a bridge over the canal?
Yes.
In this town, if somebody's thought of putting a parking lot over the river, there would be a lot of people that, But anyhow, that's become a yuppie town.
Yeah, I think Indianapolis is a great, great city. Yeah. I've always been blessed that every city that I have moved to, I have liked a little bit better than the city I lived before. So I graduated from Ohio State in Columbus, Ohio.
We're skipping. I don't know.
Okay,
there's
I'm
a lot
sorry.
In between there, man. I got to ask you. I know I'm skipping here with this question, but when you lived in Indianapolis, did you take advantage of the Indy 500?
I went to a couple of, they weren't the actual races, but I was there a couple of different times. I worked for the Boy Scouts at the time, and we would have meetings at the track just for something a little different and fun.
And you look at the museum.
Yes, yes.
Unbelievable.
It's a great place.
Yeah.
It's really a great place. I know at the time it was considered the amateur sports capital of the world. Wow. Indianapolis was at the time, yeah.
Now, could you hear the race when you went outside on Memorial Day, the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend?
Well, not from where I lived. I couldn't hear it. The racetrack itself is actually in a little city that's right on the edge of Indianapolis called Speedway.
Yeah. I've been to 25 or more races.
Okay. Yeah. So it was a little bit of a distance from where I was located.
And when I was a kid, living there as a kid in the seventh grade, I actually sold newspapers. And they printed who won the race right there at the track and then gave it to it. And, you know, A.J. Foyt wins or whatever it was. We're at a minute before 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. I have a very interesting gentleman in studio from Maple Grove, Minnesota. I met him at the Toastmasters meeting last Tuesday. And his name is Mark Skipper. And that's spelled just like the guy that runs a boat, Skipper. Did you ever get teased when you were a kid about your last name?
I'm trying to think. I'm not sure about the last name. Most people thought it was a nickname.
Yeah, that's my next question.
Yeah, yeah. So most people would call me Skipper, Skip. You know, the funny story, up until, I know this sounds bad, probably up until I was about 7 years old, I thought my father's name was Skip because that's all people called him, his nickname was Skip. I didn't realize that was not his actual name.
Yeah. So people call you Skip also?
A few people will.
Okay.
But other relatives that I have, they are called Skip, Skipper. People, I guess, like the ring of the name.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we're going to come back and continue our conversation for Mark Skipper, with Mark Skipper, but I have to give a station identification. This is your radio station, KYMN 1080 AM for almost 50 years, and of course now the 95.1 FM. It's 10 o'clock.
Eagles soar, Trump rebuke. I'm John Trout.
I'm just thankful for this opportunity, and I'm thankful that we got to beat Tom Brady, and he didn't come back and win. That's all I care about.
Philadelphia Eagles defensive end Brandon Graham on the Eagles' 41-33 victory over the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. The winning quarterback is Nick Foles.
Just to be a part of this, to be a part of the Philadelphia Eagles organization, and to be a part of the first world championship, we're very blessed. It's an unbelievable feeling. And I mean, honestly, right now, it's all soaking in. It's unbelievable.
A parade to celebrate the win is planned for Wednesday in Philadelphia.
If you want to be great, wonderful.
A Dodge Ram commercial that aired during the Super Bowl is under fire on social media. A speech by Martin Luther King Jr. aimed at inspiring people to serve the greater good has drawn controversy over claims the slain civil rights leader's words were reduced to selling trucks. President Trump has accused California Congressman Adam Schiff, the top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, of leaking confidential information, calling Schiff a liar in a tweet.
I think that it's really kind of pathetic.
Democratic Congresswoman Karen Bass. Charlie Dent is a Republican congressman who's had enough.
Well, I think the president should cease and desist from the name-calling and the insults of all these people. It really doesn't add anything. He should focus on what the issue is here.
Former Team USA gymnastics doctor Larry Nassar was back in court in Eaton County, Michigan today for a final sentencing hearing. Nassar addressed the court.
It's impossible to convey the depth and breadth of how sorry I am to each and every one involved. Divisions of your testimonies will forever be present in my thoughts.
He was handed a 125-year sentence by the judge in today's case. U.S. market trading begins as leading indices have been down.
The Fed is likely going to have to keep raising interest rates to make sure the economy doesn't overheat.
There's Christine Romans. The Dow down 246 points. I'm John Trout.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me, will you still feed me, when I'm 64?
We're back live and in color on the Wayne Eddy Affair. 3 minutes after 10 o'clock, our temperature in Kimland is, I don't know. Mark Skipper is my guest this morning, and we're chronologically going through his lifetime. And once again, he is the owner-operator of a thing called MAS Office Cleaners. He started it 5 years ago, and he has approximately 50 clients, and his goal is to have 100 clients, and he's totally independent and actually does the work himself.